Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it is good to be with you today. I tell you what, after a week of all this rain and all that stuff, it is wet out there, and I know that the people who are working outside, and especially those farmers, are hoping for sunnier days. It's been nice to at least have had a little bit over the weekend to have some sun, but it sounds like as we head into the first of next week, a lot of rain is coming our way. But we will deal with it. We know the Lord's fully in control, and we'll just trust Him in it. But we got a few things before we get started this morning into our teaching. First, I want to make mention to you about our motorcycle trip that will be for men only. This is our Vital Men Ride. We do that annually, May 31st through June 2nd. Now, it's going to be really a great trip. We're going to leave here right out of Oskaloosa. We will leave at 7 o'clock in the morning at 510 3rd Avenue West. And it'll be a place we're going to have the guys come in early. If you would like, we're going to serve you breakfast burritos, give you some information, give a t-shirt and a ball cap, and we'll head out on our way. So you're not going to want to miss this great opportunity as men to travel. We're going to travel up and down the Mississippi, start at the north and head down through the south. And just hopefully we're praying for good weather that will go well. So if that's something that interests you, again, you can go to vitalministries.org on our webpage. It gives us more information about that Vital Men's Ride that you do not want to miss out, motorcycle trip that's coming with May 31st through June 2nd. Also, too, we send out devotionals 6 days a week. You don't want to miss out on that either. A daily inspiration for both men and women. We have 5 different writers who write for Vital Men. You don't want to miss out on that. It's just a great time to plug in and get that extra in your day, that inspiration of encouragement. And my wife, she writes for the ladies on 6 days a week. So just some really, really good stuff that you do not want to miss out on. Also, too, starting next week, we are going to start a new teaching series in which I'm really excited about. It's going to be called Pick Your Poison. And what we're going to look at the different things of addictions that work in our lives that can sometimes grab us and grip us even more so. We're going to talk about, obviously, drugs, alcohol, sex. We're going to talk about, too, technology. Talk about also weight. Also, too, those that get consumed by exercising, with all these different things, pick your poison of what it does that creates addictions in our lives. So it becomes, for better words of saying, something that becomes more important than Jesus, and we take this addiction and put it in its place. So again, it's just something this morning I pray that you think about as we talk about pick your poison. It's just going to be a great teaching series as we head in the weeks ahead. So just good one. But today we're finishing up in the journey today as we travel the last days of Christ. He's his journey to the Jerusalem, to the eventual cross. And we experienced in past weeks his resurrection and Jesus helping us to overcome Thomas's doubts last week. We read in the Gospels, we encounter the love of Christ, not only in the days he walked this earth, but as for us today, May 5, 2019, we still see and experience his love around us as well. This week, I experienced his love with family and friends as I said goodbye to 2 incredible people. And also, folks, every funeral, every death is important. But these are just a couple of folks that I personally knew. And one was Fred Bridges, a man who served our country in the Navy during both the Korean and the Vietnam conflict wars. A man who had passion for life and passion for people. And also to his passion for Jesus himself. And I actually got a picture. One of the funeral directors here and locally showed me the picture of a horse-driven hearse that took Fred to his final resting point. And it was incredible. I can only imagine the moment it must have been. But also too, my heart is also heavy this morning with the loss of my Aunt Rita Voss. I found memories of her as a young man during vacation times with my family and with her and my Uncle Dale Voss, just great people. She will absolutely be missed, but yet her memories live on. And a fine man by the name of Charlie McMillan, her brother, did the service on that day, and he just did an exceptional job for speaking and talking about the life of a sister, of a mother, of a wife, and an aunt. And I tell you what, she was one fine lady, and she will be missed. But we just sense the love on both of those occasions. And we hold on to the love of Christ not only in life, but also in the life everlasting with Jesus and the Father. We'll see the love of Christ and how he reinstates the disciple Peter, asking him a question. Do you love me? We're going to dig into the deeper to this morning, but first let's look at the question for ourselves. If Jesus was asking us this question, do you love me? I've had some alone times in wrestling with the thoughts of the question of I just asked myself, and I think of, for many of us today, we in our own eyes and our own answer is if I don't do enough for Christ or enough for Jesus, and well, is my love enough for Him that I have to earn it or literally earn my way into heaven? This past weekend, I took a Sunday to simply rest and to walk with Jesus. Yes, folks, I didn't go to church, but I'm not making that a practice in my life. It's a short season that I know that I need to have with the Lord Himself, and I still do many teachings and pulpit supply and head into the prison, but I'm simply taking time for a season to listen for what's next in my life. I've been in ministry and going hard ever since 2005 and driving, working to get my commission pastor, become a pastor, and have held two jobs and opportunities this past 5 years, both in the Newton Church of the Way and right here locally in Oskaloosa, Central Reformed Church. I've since stepped away from full-time ministry to regroup and to refocus on what I'm doing is what's the next step in my life. And we all need those times, don't we, to get away, recharge your battery, realign your life. And today we're going to look at what it means to do you love me. I'm specifically meaning with our relationship with Jesus. We will look at the first hand, the encounter with Christ, with Peter's reinstatement. Maybe for some of you today, you need an encounter with Jesus Himself, a reinstatement for something that has happened in your past. Will you join me today as we see a group of men who are on the Sea of Galilee, fishing, casting their nets on the open waters? If you have your Bibles today in your home, you will be with us in John chapter 21. And for those of you who are traveling down the highway, thanks for turning us on your radio to KBOE 104.9 FM. But let's look firsthand today of what it means in our first point as we dig into the Word of God in John chapter 1. My first point, if you're writing notes today, is called Gone Fishing. But let's look at the first six verses this morning, and let's jump in to what the Bible says about this reinstatement encounter of Peter himself. It says this in verse 1, "Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee." This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the other two disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." The other said, "Well, we'll come too." So they went out in the boat and they caught nothing all night long. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach and the disciples couldn't see who he was. He calls out, "Hey, fellas, caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw your net to the right side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Now think with me for a moment. Seven men venturing out into the night. They are looking up to the stars. The moon is shining, and they head out on to the sea. It's a way that they get away. A place of Sea of Galilee is a place that they know. For Peter and his men, fishing was an everyday routine. It was something that fishing for Peter and those men was mindless. Like riding a bicycle, we all have those mindless places, don't we? Where you go to a place when you don't have to think, and the places when life literally gets tough, what do? For me, it's on my motorcycle. When life gets hard, I jump on my motorcycle and go. I can't hear my phone. It's just me in the open road. It's a place that's mindless. It's comfortable. And I don't have to think about what's going on life itself. It's my getaway. See, folks, I really love this story because it shows us how real men can be. As Peter says, "I'm going fishing," and being the leader, and the rest follow him. But here's what it is. It's a frustrating night for them. They can't catch any fish, not one thing. These guys, now bear in mind, are professional fishermen. In my mind, they're like the Bass Pro guys that go out and go fishing during the day or even in the night to catch fish. They know where to go. The Sea of Galilee, for them, it's water. It's places that they've spent majority of their life. They know the hot spots. But this night, it's a dry run. Now, the night has since passed, and now the sun is coming up to the east. Folks, I got to be honest with you. I've seen that sun come up on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And folks, it is magnificent. It comes up over the Jordan Mountains, and there it is. There's a light fog that's a dew that's in the air, and your eyes, and you see what's going on, and it's just amazing sight to see. I can only imagine how it must have been for those men. Then there's this guy on the shore that's calling out to them. You catch this with me for a minute. He hollers out, "Caught any fish?" I'm thinking, really? Who is this guy? It's like when you pull into a gas station and you're riding your motorcycle and the stranger comes up and he tries to strike up a conversation with you, acting like he's ridden a bike before, only to find out he's a wannabe biker. You stand there listening while it's in your mind, "Go away, leave me alone." You know, we don't see that in Scripture of that being said, but you know, we can just imagine how it must have been. And for some reason, Peter and the other disciples do what he says. "Hey, try the right side of the boat, guys. Cast your net over there." I'm thinking, in their minds, they probably thought they had nothing to lose. It says in verse 6 that they can't haul in the load, that their nets are full, and they're not tearing. And it's all because of a man said, "Cast your net to the other side." See, folks, it's been over 15 years ago, but I had this friend by the name of Ken, who's a big fisherman. He asked my son and I to go fishing with him up in the fish state of Minnesota, way up north. And he has this cabin and this great fishing place and this great fishing boat. So I said, "Absolutely, let's go, all in." Now, bear in mind, I'm not a fisherman at all. I was trusting him. But I thought it would be a great time, a father-son outing. So we headed out. It was an amazing weekend. We caught more fish than I could ever imagine. Matter of fact, my friend told me that he needed to bring both of us more often because he had never truly caught that much fish ever in his whole experience of fishing like that weekend. They were hitting. We caught our quota of the big mouth bass. Matter of fact, my son even caught a northerner for a great surprise. It was an incredible weekend. That's what Jesus did for those men. He met them right at their physical need first and then helped Peter with his heartfelt disappointment for denying him. This brings us to our next point this morning, the dive. And I want to show you something in John chapter 21, verses 7 and 9. Starting with verse 7, it says this. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed for the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found a breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. The Bible says that John knew who it was, that it was Jesus. He hasn't seen them before in a period of time, but he remembers all the miracles that Jesus had done before. And this was simply just another one. Then the Bible says that John says, "It's the Lord," with an explanation point. You see, folks, John loves Jesus. He went all the way to the cross with him. He didn't hide out. No, he heard everything that was said by Jesus himself on the cross, from "I am thirsty" to the final conclusion of what Jesus said, "It is finished." And John tells everyone on the boat, "It's Jesus. It's him." And I love what Peter does next. Nothing is stopping him. He's been stripped down all night long, down to his underwear because he's been working. He's got a sweat going. He puts his clothes back on and head first into the water. He doesn't care how far it is. My Bible says it's 100 yards away. That's a length of a football field, folks. And can't you see the water splashing? It's no laid-back breaststroke. No, folks, it's an all-in swim. And he's paddling with his feet as fast as his body can take him. But see, I can only imagine the other disciples are what they're thinking. There he goes again. It's like Wyatt Earp headed into the saloon going to make something happen. That's where Peter was. He was going in to the shore. In his mind and in their mind, I'm sure they think, there he goes again. But let's stop a moment, folks. He's finally swam as far as he can. Now remember, Peter did walk on the water once, but this time he's running in to finish out getting to the shore, not walking on water, but running in water. He's now there on dry ground, dripping wet from head to toe. It's now eye to eye with Jesus. Now, this isn't found in the Bible, but this is what I call the Gospel of Mike. And let's speculate a little bit this morning for what we can't read, but sometimes, as my father says, you got to listen to what's not being said. Jesus and Peter have this short alone moment. The last time they do this is another time of a charcoal fire found in John chapter 18:18. In his past, he denied Jesus, even knowing him three times. Matter of fact, in Luke 22:62, it says that after the rooster crowed, Peter remembered what Jesus had foretold him, what he would do. It says that Peter wept bitterly. Have you ever wept bitterly before to the point that your sides hurt? I've wept and had done that before, and when my first marriage had failed, and I could, in my own mind, I thought, how could I have failed so badly? Man, I tell you what, that kind of weeping, that kind of thing hurts the sides when you weep bitterly. See, folks, Jesus knows the importance of reinstating Peter. He has to do it before he eventually will leave them. In my mind, I think Jesus grabs Peter, gives a man a big man hug, and tells Peter, hey, I love you, man. I like to get those moments when I go into prison. I grab those men and I tell them, I hug them, and I tell them that I love them. And so does Jesus. Yes, folks, they broke the law. They did a crime. What more can literally be done? I'm called to go in to love on those men. And Jesus loved on Peter, even though they failed, just like myself. With no questions asked, but let's get to the next point this morning. Point number three. Numbers are important, and I want to show that to you, starting with verse 10 through 14. Jesus says, bring some of the fish you've caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net into the shore. There were 153 fish, and yet the net had not been torn. Now come here and have some breakfast, Jesus says. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They all knew it was Jesus. It was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since it had been raised from the dead. Now see, folks, this is an important part. Jesus says, bring some of your fish. I've got the bread of bacon, and I'm going to ready to grill some fish. He knew that those seven men were hungry. They had worked all night long. They were exhausted, so Jesus does what he does. He cares for them. See, folks, leaders do that. Sometimes not only do they lead and give direction, but sometimes leaders serve, and that's what Jesus did. He was an incredible leader. He knew how to love on men and love on people. I love on the occasion to bring men, our men that work for us in our construction company, bring them Yarsma donuts. They're outstanding, and folks, man, what a treat. The guys love them. It says a signal to them. It says to them, in my hopes, thanks for working so hard, that they're appreciated. That's what Jesus was trying to share with his men. That's what Jesus is doing with the encounter. And I can just see them sitting around the fire and serving bread and fish. Maybe a little joking is going on. How about the right side of the boat, guys? Did I call that? Don't tell me I don't know where the hot spots are. And hey, you caught 153 big fish. See, it's hard for a lot of people to speculate on what the number meant. A lot of things have been said. But my simple mind says numbers mean something to God. He had Moses write a whole book on it. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says that 3,000 were added that day to the church. When Peter spoke his first sermon, he had a mega church on his hands. That's why I always count every time I give an opportunity for those who come to Christ. This many people came to Jesus. Every time I go into the prison, I give an altar call and I count. New life has happened. Men coming to Jesus. I even did that, an altar call, once at a funeral. 17 people raised their hands to accept Christ. I'll never forget that moment. It says that on this morning, that Jesus gives the count by the time of the breakfast. It's the third time that he's met with his men. He physically meets them right where they are after the resurrection. The place where he first met them and where he called them to be fishers of men. But let's finish up this morning with point number four, my final point, stolen moments. And let's keep reading. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus says. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus says. And then Jesus asked Peter a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" It says that Peter was hurt that Jesus had asked the question the third time. But I love Peter's response. He says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Then Jesus says, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, Peter, you will be able to do as you like. You dress yourself and whatever where you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." See, Jesus said this to let Peter know by what kind of death he would glorify him in, glorify the Lord. Then Jesus gives a final response, "Follow me." I love this portion of Scripture. It's just a place of endearing to my own soul, and I'm hoping it is for you this morning. But see, Jesus has waited for the right moment to reinstate Peter. He didn't want Peter to carry the shame or the guilt all because of his denial that he knew Jesus, that Peter's heart needed to be healthy in order to help and rescue lost souls of unbelievers. Jesus knew Peter's potential and was going to reinstate his purpose for his life. Don't we need that sometimes, folks? Remember being called, Peter means rock. The foundation of the new church was about to be birthed, so Jesus needed a few stolen moments alone with Peter. I can see them walking down by the sea, along the shore. Not small talks going on, folks. It's pointed with grace, woven within the questions that Jesus was about to ask him. See, the first question does this for us is when Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" What a question for Peter. He immediately says yes, but Jesus has purpose in the question. "Then feed my lambs. Love the little people, Peter. Take time for my children. They're only kids for a short amount of time. Show them my love. Play with them. Love them like they're your own." See, my wife, she's a third grade teacher, and I love how she loves on kids. Every year she tells me, "I have the best class ever." Every year, did you hear that? Every year she says that. I love what's going on with her and the stories, and she shares with me about the young people that she directs and she teaches in third grade. It always amazes me sometimes when we go out into public and we go out for either headed into the Walmart or into the grocery store or the places of business here right in Oskaloosa. And you can hear the people, sometimes young and sometimes adult, Mrs. Sarig. And my wife's arms go open wide and she always goes and gives those kids or sometimes adults a hug. And in my mind, that's what Jesus was wanting Peter to do. "Love my lambs, Peter." And then question number two, Jesus says, "Do you love me?" It's a direct question now. "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "You know I love you." But Jesus was full of compassion with Peter. "Hey, Peter, I need you to go deeper for your love with me. What I'm going to do is I need you to be responsible in how you love people and how you love my sheep." In my mind, Jesus needed Peter to love, have his eyes on and love like Jesus did, to see people through those lenses. And I'm talking about all people, even those who are hard to love. I need you to love in those ways. Those who have even wronged you, hung you out to dry. Those who have betrayed you. Peter again responds, "Lord, you know I love you." Then there's that third question. "Simon, son of John," here it is again, a third time. "Do you love me?" See, Jesus was telling Peter all about the agape love. A love of action, but even to death. Only problem was Peter could only give Jesus filial love at the time of brotherly love. Jesus knew that. But he was helping Peter to remind him that he could go deeper in his love for him. But I love how Peter responds in his hurt. He recognizes that Jesus has his back. He simply tells Jesus, "You know everything." Peter finally gives the response and doesn't say a thing. And Jesus doesn't bang on Peter about his mistakes. No, with grace and love, he reinstates Peter. with the question, "Do you love me?" He tells Peter about how he is going to die, and when he is full of the Holy Spirit, he will be able to give up himself and do everything that Jesus has called him to do, everything that's been prophesied about him, that he eventually will face a cross like his Lord, and that he will understand the cost for what greater good that the cost brings. Peter would love Jesus eventually to the end. And finally, Jesus tells Peter, "Follow me." Folks, I believe that Jesus is doing that this morning, asking the question, "Do you love me? Will you love me to the point of giving up your life and to receive me as your Savior? To quit doing things on your own way? Like Peter, can you respond to the Lord and know everything?" Sometimes, folks, it's literally like what Peter had to do, jump headfirst into the water. Are you willing to jump headfirst in the water this morning and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior today? He's mighty to save, folks. He loves on his people, just like he did Peter and the disciples, and met their needs on the Sea of Galilee with 153 large fish. Will you pray with me? Jesus, again, we want to thank you for this day, an opportunity to where we can go and read the gospel message about how you love on your men, how you reinstated people, and how you reinstate us even today. Folks, Lord, I just pray right now there's maybe some folks out there that need to be reinstated. They have fell away from their love for you, that they have either denied or abandoned their faith. Lord, I believe that you're calling them back. Come back to me. Come back to me. I love you so much. Will you love me? Go deeper in your faith. Lord, I pray that there's maybe somebody out there that's listening today that needs to pray that prayer. Lord, forgive me. Please reinstate me. Help me to become the man or the woman that you've called me to be today. I ask you to forgive me of my unfaithfulness or the sins that I've done against you. Lord, will you reinstate me? I want you to be the Savior of my life. I want to love you like Peter loved you. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, it's been a great morning to be with you today. I'm excited again for next week as we start this new teaching series, Pick Your Poison. You don't want to miss out on this great time. Again, this is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.